Thank you for that. It's Christopher Cross, Applesauce, 9:40 on a Tuesday. We check in with our friends at SalesportsTalk.com, and co-hosting the segment with me, as per usual, is our friend Karen Lyle. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Rick. It's great to talk to you on this sunny day.
Very nice. We have a couple of guests. We have filmmakers Taylor Lane and Bud Judkins, and they're here to talk about a documentary. Could you tell us the title of the documentary, please, Bud? What's it called?
Well, my name is Ben Judkins. Common mistake. People call me Bud. I kind of like it. It's my alter ego. I'm Ben Judkins. I'm the director of The Cigarette Surfboard. It's a part surfing film, part environmental documentary that uses these surfboards built from cigarette butts picked up off the beach that my good friend Taylor Lane, who's sitting here with me today, built over the past few years. And I followed his journey around the world as he learned from professional surfers and ocean activists about what anyone can do to protect and restore the health of the ocean.
Yeah, and Ben, I had you on my show for this exact film in October for the Green Film Festival.
That's right. Good to be back.
Right. I just got a thing saying, it says documentary using Ciggy Butts, and I thought that's not the name of it. So that's why I asked. So I just wanted to make sure I clarified that with you.
You got it. Yeah. The Cigarette Surfboard. We're on thecigarettesurfboard.com or at The Cigarette Surfboard on Instagram.
Gotcha.
And Taylor, it is a pleasure to have you on the show as well. You are the protagonist in this film. Can you tell us about how you thought of and invented the Ciggy Board?
Yeah, thanks again for having us. It really prompted back in 2017 with Vizsla and Surfrider Foundation's contest called the Creators Contest, which prompts people to build an article of surf craft out of upcycled materials. And Ben and I had been friends for a while, and we kind of came up with this idea of, you know, realizing that cigarette butts were just all over our beaches, and that something just kind of was an interesting opportunity to lean into that. So we found a way to kind of make this thing possible, and Ben started filming since the first cigarette butt we picked up. And we won that contest back in 2017, which really like just exploded the recognition of the project. And since then, we've made 14 surfboards and worked with professional surfboard shapers across California, and probably collected over 130,000 cigarette butts off the beaches and made them into functional surf craft.
That's nuts. And Ben, it seemed to me that, you know, right around the millennium that cigarette smoking was starting to decline. And then the new generation, even with vapes available, it seems like cigarettes are back. Did you see an influx of way more cigarette butts now in the last decade?
You know, it's interesting. I would say in California, we find fewer cigarette butts on the beaches up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. Around the world, it's still the most littered item. Mm. And in California as well as across the country, at beach cleanups, it's the most picked up item. So, you know, I think smoking cigarettes has declined a bit in the past decade. However, people still do smoke, and unfortunately, people still do flick their butts. It's oddly this people perceive it as maybe one of the last remaining acceptable forms of litter, or they just don't see it as litter. When they flick their butt, they think it's potentially biodegradable. They don't understand that the filters are made from plastic, that they hold on to the toxic chemicals that come through the cigarette and get held in the filter. And then when that comes in contact with waterways such as, you know, rivers, creeks, the ocean, that's them released and is toxic to fish and wildlife.
Can we get a little technical and talk about how you put those cigarette butts into a surfboard and are able to stand and surf on it? What are the materials that are made, and what's the process?
Yeah, well, the first board took over 400 hours to kind of put together. And that first Ciggy board was really just a crude proof of concept where we had used some styrofoam core pieces and layers of cigarette butts around sort of a wooden frame that was then fiberglassed. But it was extremely heavy. It was about a 5'4" board that weighed almost 20 pounds, which a normal surfboard of that size and stature, it weighs more about 6 pounds. So I have a background. I went to school at San Jose State for industrial design, and that really allowed me to understand, like, a little bit more from a design and engineering aspect of how to reduce the weight of these surfboards, but also using like an artistic medium of the cigarette butts, sort of as a mosaic style to kind of tell a broader story. So I kind of engineered this machine that was a printmaking press that has these metal rolling pins that flattened out the cigarette butts, and it allowed us to do like a thin veneer sheet of ciggy butts on the top and the bottom of these boards, which we got from these professional shapers that gave us this foam blank outline where I would sort of inlay them essentially as a veneer and turn it into, a traditional surfboard from there using fiberglass and other methods. But I'd say the average surfboard going through the professional hands takes anywhere from 6 to 12 hours, whereas, now where we're at with these Sigi boards is probably anywhere between 70 to 100 hours.
And Taylor, I got kind of a two-part question. Number one, do people say, "Have these been sanitized? Ew." And then secondly, does someone say, "I want one that's just Camels, dude"?
Yeah, I mean, we get everything in between, right? It's kind of funny, like we actually getting them from beach cleanups particularly, which we like to tell that story, taking something disgusting off the beach and bringing back something really impactful and beautiful in a certain way. But the cigarette butts that are on the beach are kind of dried out. They're kind of sun-kissed, as opposed to something out of a nasty ashtray. So it actually works for us. I wouldn't call them any cleaner, but they're drier and easier to work with. We've take a lot of precautions when working with these cigarette butts and making them into surfboards using HEPA filters and masks and ventilation and vacuums and all kinds of stuff. But once you encapsulate them in fiberglass, they don't smell, they don't make contact with the water, and people are quite fascinated taking their hands and rubbing them across thousands of cigarette butts. So it's pretty wacky. And then that second part of your question, remind me.
People is like, they don't want a mix. They just want all Marlboro, dude.
Yeah. That's hard. A lot of the logos can fade, but you can definitely see the fidelity of these cigarettes through the surfboards and through the fiberglass on the surfboards. You really can see that. I think the furthest I've done to organizing them in any kind of pattern besides the artwork is we actually made a 9 foot long long board, and on the top deck I organized all the orange ones and the white ones to look like if an aerial shot of a cigarette. So you've got this little orange, quarter bit of the surfboard, and then the rest is white cigarette butt. So it kind of looks like a big floating cigarette butt from the top view.
I think one of the things I enjoy so much about art is that it lives in the cracks between the tension between different folks. Because there are folks that love to smoke, and there are folks who really don't love smoke. And this cigarette board, I imagine, is appealing to both. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Sigi boards definitely have a profound impact on people and their perception of waste and our perception of the fact that small little actions add up. And when we kind of look at those things as a whole, we realize that as individuals and communities, we really do have an effect on our environment, the interactions we have with other people around us. And sometimes art can be used as this vessel to carry this larger message of sort of unifying that good and that bad. And so I think really the Sigi boards, through the physicality of them, but also through the story of the film, really hold up the fact that as, people, we can make the world a better place. Even though the Sigi board is emblematic of negative actions, I think the storyline that the film takes on is about what we can do as individuals and communities to try and make our world a little bit better while using surfing as that sort of gateway to grow our interests, understanding and importance of how amazing and beautiful the ocean can be beyond just the waves that it provides for surfers to surf.
And Ben, has anyone approached you saying, like, "I got some McDonald wrappers, we should make boogie boards. Like, has this, what kind of feedback have you got?
Yeah, people often ask both of us, you know, they'll ask Taylor really like, hey, like, when are you going to make a Siggy snowboard or a Siggy skimboard, or you're going to make a surfboard from vapes? And, you know, I think these are all great ideas. While the cigarette surfboards are not a solution to the issue, it really does bring attention to the issue, and it really starts the conversation for solutions, which in our film, it, you know, we really wanted to highlight the positive things happening in the world, that ways in which people are actively, you know, doing their part to protect the ocean and not leave people with another doom and gloom environmental documentary. You know, there's so much bad stuff happening in our world and to our planet. And so we really wanted to uplift and highlight those folks around the world who are in the surfing community and using their platform to do something bigger than themselves. So, you know, if my next film is about some other form of waste, you know, turned into functional art, I'd be all about it.
We just have about a minute. Karen, you got one more quick question?
Yes, this has become a movement. What is it that you would like people to do if they see this film, if they're taking that action forward?
Yeah, I'd like people to walk away from the film feeling inspired in whatever way the movie really hits them. You know, we have a broad, diverse cast of people from around the world who are doing different things, kind of this multifaceted approach to protecting the ocean. And so I want people to walk away from the theater feeling fired up and feeling like they have the capacity to make change. Because as Taylor said, you know, as individuals and as small communities, a lot of change happens from the ground up. So we want to light a fire in people. We want them to walk away, and whether that's taking action with regards to littered cigarette butts in their community or some other way, like, we just want people to get involved and take action.
And there's actually some great policy happening in Santa Cruz around this that's looking at an ordinance that would ban the sale of single-use cigarette filters. And the film has been a huge catalyst in making that policy go that much further. And it looks like we're very much possible to make that a reality. And that would be groundbreaking policy that other jurisdictions can follow.
For more information, go to thecigarettesurfboard.com. We've been speaking with our local filmmaker here, Ben Judkins, and Taylor Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. Gentlemen, congratulations.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate us being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, Karen.
Great to have you.
All right, and we'll do it again, Karen, next week.
We will indeed. Happy Earth Day.
All right. Is it Earth Day today, Dominic? Oh.
Well, you know, we picked a good subject, didn't we?
Oh, you're still... We did. Did you get my little Penny Lane reference there?
Oh, Penny Lane.
Yeah, yes. Taylor Lane is in my ears. All right, sorry about that. All right, Karen, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.